Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
All right, John Zimrick. Hey, correct me on the pronunciation, John, if I messed that up. Last name.
It's Smirak.
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 John yeah. Smirak, right. Smirak, of course yeah. It is, exactly. Thank you, John Smirak, of the stream. And a lot of people don't know about this guy. I can see Imran Awan. He's the Pakistani-born IT vendor who worked for Debbie Wasserman Schultz. There are all kinds of rumors on the internet about this and how close they were and all this stuff. But now, he was arrested for bank fraud on his way to the country, but I'm hearing, some mortgage fraud stuff, but what more is there on him, John?
Oh, gosh, you know, we really are not going to know unless the federal government does a serious investigation. I mean, look at all the resources we're pouring into this black hole that is the Trump-Russia investigation that seems to be leading absolutely nowhere except to try to maybe attack the president for his previous business dealings when he was a private citizen. Meanwhile, the Democrats have got this aching wound of a serious national security breach with a major Democrat, and you know the media is not going to cover it because it doesn't fit their agenda.
Well, I know, but I'm sticking with our boy here with the bank fraud thing. I mean, what is at this moment? What do we have on the guy other than some alleged mortgage fraud stuff?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know the details of this case. I think you might have me mixed up with a different guest.
Well, Rachel couldn't do it, so they gave me the distinguished Mr. Smirak. But
okay.
That's okay. We can, you know, it's all kind of jumbled together anyway. So there's
questions. Sorry. I'm not prepared to talk about that in detail.
It's quite all right because you've got Fox and the websites going after this, but there's rumors that he's got dirt on other members of Congress and he was being paid more than anybody else and his family members and all that kind of stuff. So we'll see it play out.
Well, I certainly hope so. I hope it's an apocalyptic scandal to take the Democrats out, but I just don't know.
I'm sure you do. Okay, let's get down to business then on the Russia stuff. I mean, all I've heard is what you've heard. You know, the Don Jr. meeting where the large man who was the agent for the Azerbaijani singer sent an email speaking for the Russian government, which I thought was kind of inflated on his part. But he had eight Russians at this meeting. And yes, I mean, Manafort and even Jared should have known better to take the meeting. But apparently nothing happened at the meeting, according to them. So that's all they have, that and some meetings with the Russian diplomats in Cleveland with various people and Manafort doing business over the years in Ukraine. What do they have at this point?
Well, I can't speak to what they might have found in those documents that they grabbed this morning from Manafort's house, but I would be shocked if they had anything genuinely damning. And I think the Republicans need to keep in mind the real fact that the Clinton Foundation got tens of millions of dollars for one lecture that Bill Clinton gave in Russia. Uh-huh. And Russia got 20% of U.S. uranium.
Well, nobody cares about that. Sean Hannity and the Fox people. I mean, because what you get on that from the CNN people and the MSNBC people and the mainstream media people is that Clinton isn't the president. So nobody cares about her.
Well, legally it doesn't mitigate it. But politically, we need to keep it in the front focus. We need to see that there's nothing about what Trump was doing that is out of the ordinary. And there's nothing that is that surprising with the Russians trying to disrupt a U.S. election. They uh-huh. try to disrupt multiple U.S. elections.
No, I understand.
And there's no evidence whatsoever that Putin wanted Trump to win. The likelihood is that Putin was making links with both campaigns in case whoever won, he'd have some kind of connection there, and also some leverage and some ability to disrupt it.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. My question has always been, and it was raised by Alan Dershowitz, and Where's the law against colluding on campaign dirt, on getting opposition research from foreign nationals? Because Jonathan Turley, a constitutional lawyer, and Dershowitz both say that's fine. It's protected in the First Amendment. Dershowitz's point is you have to prove they were collaborating on the hack itself, which is illegal. But if you just get dirt from some emissary, emissary from Russia, is like getting dirt from somebody from Holland. I mean, the First Amendment protects that.
Right. And remember, all the WikiLeaks information was truthful, and it was important. I'm glad Americans knew that the Clinton campaign was involved in trying to disrupt the Catholic Church, for instance, you know, using George Soros' money.
Well, and screwing Bernie in California, and of course, you know, I feel like Seth Rich is killing was dirty, but I talk about it and people think I'm nuts, so there you have it. By the way, we should say for the record that Julian Assange put out a $20,000 reward for his killer, Seth Rich's killer, and nobody talks about that. I mean, Julian Assange doesn't put out $20,000 reward for every robbery victim in D.C. I mean, come on!
Exactly.
I mean, I don't want to be like Lieutenant Columbo, but it seems to me that's a pretty raging question to ask.
Yeah, I mean, people who are really upset about WikiLeaks, what they're saying is it was not fair that the American people knew just how corrupt and how anti-democratic the Clinton campaign was. That was something which, playing fair by the rules, we should only have found out once she was president of the United States. I'm grateful to Julian Assange and anyone else who helped expose that information.
Well, if you're going to say you're grateful to Julian Assange, then are you grateful to the leakers in the State Department and intelligence agency that are screwing the president every 5 minutes?
Well, of course, they are working for the government. The Clinton campaign was not the government.
Well,
there's a difference between leaking from the State Department and leaking from the Trump campaign or the Clinton campaign, don't you think?
I do. And the leaks from the government are 7 times the rate of leaks during Obama, so even Bush. I mean, it's out of control. But then
The phrase deep state is accurate.
Otherwise, who's leaking? But, you know, Trump did trash a lot of people, and so I guess one would say that they're trashing back, aren't they? I mean, and also, Trump isn't filling a lot of positions that would theoretically be a buffer against the deep staters. Isn't that fair to say?
That's right, yeah. Unfortunately, you know, especially in the Justice Department. And that's why he got so frustrated at Jeff Sessions, unfairly, I think, for accusing himself from the Russian investigation, which might have been a mistake. But I think it was a well-intentioned mistake, and that I'm glad to see that he seems to be laying off Jeff Sessions, because I think getting rid of Jeff Sessions would have been a disaster.
Well, because he was saying that his own skin is more important than going after MS-13 and gangs and illegal immigrants. I mean, putting those last.
Well, Jeff Sessions is one of the key reasons he got the nomination in the first place.
And you start to see his talk radio people getting upset about that and so forth. So, but it looks like the Attorney General is safe for the time being. Bottom liner, John Smirak, you've got to have some victories on the big issues like tax reform and infrastructure. If you don't have anything in that regard, I mean, it's time to jump off the Titanic, isn't it, eventually?
He needs to start building that wall and focus the media on condemning the wall because Americans support it.
Well, that's going to lead to it. Go ahead.
This business in North Korea is potentially tragic. It could eat up all the headlines for some very terrible reason.
Well, how do you survive that if there's like, you know, 3 million dead in Seoul? I mean, there's no way you can recover from that, is there? I mean, come on. I mean, I don't want to think about it.
I think the only way we avoid that kind of casualty in Seoul is that we're willing to inflict horrible casualties on North Korea. The preemptive strike.
Well, we'd probably love to do that if we didn't think they were going to dump thousands of munitions onto Seoul, you know, which is about 30 miles away, right?
I mean, I think it would have to be something like a devastating nuclear first strike.
Well,
we could probably prevent the firing of those artillery, but the cost in North Korean lives would be very high.
Well, you'd have to torch the whole country.
Yep. You know. We might face that very choice in the next few weeks.
Yeah, well, there's a pleasant thought right there.
I'm not saying that flippantly.
No, I know you're not. You know, it seems to me that the starvation problems in North Korea are driven by the fact that Kim Jong-un eats all the food. I mean, come on. Spread the wealth.
It's a satanic regime that easily could have overwhelmed the whole Korean peninsula if it hadn't been for the sacrifice of hundreds of thousands of American soldiers. My father was in World War II at the end, and he just missed being sent to Korea. Mm. I might not be here if he had been, but we too often forget the veterans of that war.
I tell you, I've gone to the memorial, and you see those Koreans with tears in their eyes, and they thank the Americans. It's amazing. It really is. It's incredible.
That was a good, morally just war that we fought there.
Yeah, you know, and I think it was a UN charter. I mean, you had some soldiers from Australia and various places, but we did most of the fighting, of course. But hey, thank you so much, John. I appreciate
thank
the time.
You.
And
have a great night.
You know, we'll try to avoid nuclear conflagration here between now and next week. How about that?
It's time for prayer.
All right. Bye-bye. Take care. Speaking of that, we'll go to the President Trump comments on the fire and fury, a CNN report, and we'll talk about it and how to play this, because this guy, this chubby guy, is a little unhinged. And of course, you know, you could say that about, well, I hope you're not in the camp, and I see Facebook in Dane County, but of comparing Donald Trump to Kim Jong-un. I know some of you might, but we'll come back with more on that. I mean, at least Trump wears a tie. The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
Two Bridges was one of the toughest neighborhoods in New York, especially in the Al Smith projects. It was a no man's land with no rules. On Christmas Eve 1951, Mac Pastamadeo vanished without a trace while walking home with his little boy Angelo. Now 13, Angelo is a gang member and the only witness to the brutal murder of an undercover cop who holds a clue to Mac's disappearance 6 years ago. Stalked by killers, Angelo becomes part of an unlikely alliance of a priest, a mob boss, and a police detective in order to uncover the truth behind the murder and Mac's disappearance. Weepers by Nick Chiarkis.
At Troy Research, we understand that success is determined by your customers. To realize the greatest success possible, you need to understand what they want and why. Your customers have opinions to share with you. As researchers, our assignment is to gather those opinions, illuminate the issues, and shed the light of understanding on decision-making. Where can good research take your business? Call or email to talk about it. Troy Research at 608-271-8884 or email jlittle@troyresearch.com. Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hank has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
In real estate, you want to work with Tim Rayl.
Most realtors just came in and talked with you and then put an ad in the paper. Tim came in and said, here's what we're going to do. You had a plan, and it was spectacular. It really worked well, and I couldn't have been happier.
Let's get ink on paper today with Realtor Tim Rayl of Coldwell Banker Success, 698-7653.
I would recommend Tim Rayl to anyone who had a house for sale in the Dane County area.
Tim Rayl, 698-7653.
Need a comedian or MC for your private party or corporate event? Don't be shy. I can do it without telling any dirty jokes. In fact, when I'm not doing my Frank Sinatra tribute show, I've done stand-up at the comedy club and at private events for years. Whether it's a large convention or private gathering in your living room, I've done it. We all need to laugh more. The world can be even more stressful than it is. There's no business like show business, and I usually find those of you who have the best jokes about your coworkers at the company dinner. So feel free to contact me at 347-0374. That's 347-0374. Email at info@madisontalks.com. That's info@madisontalks.com.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
Does anybody know where Columbo, what network I watch? Because I have AT&T, and it's channel 366, which, of course, HD would be 1366, and I record all these Columbo episodes. It's the only show I really watch. I love Columbo. I get my fix. And, of course, the 70s were the original series. I forgot that they had it brought it back in, like, 1990, 91. They had a new series of the same show, the same actor, like 10 years. And I was too embroiled in a dysfunctional marriage, apparently, to have seen those episodes. So now I watch the new ones, and I haven't seen them before. So it's exciting. But getting back to the subject at hand, Donald Trump got tough with North Korea in his rhetoric, and CNN did a report. Let's go to the CNN report. We'll talk about it as we avoid nuclear conflagration for the moment.
Kim Jong-un appears to have ramped up his capability to deliver his deadliest weapons, and tonight is drawing a stern warning from President Trump about threatening the U.S.
As I said, they will be met with fire, fury, and frankly, power, the likes of which this world has never seen before.
U.S. intelligence officials that North Korea has produced a miniaturized nuclear warhead that can fit inside its missiles, including its long-range ICBMs that could reach the United States. Multiple sources familiar with the analysis of Kim's missile and nuclear program. The one source tells CNN this is not a consensus view by the entire intelligence.
Because of the North Korean progress, Hawaii, Alaska, Washington State, Oregon, California are all now threatened directly by the progress that UN and the North Koreans have made.
A missile expert explains where that miniaturized warhead would go and how it would work.
Within this nose cone or shroud would be the warhead. That would, you know, goes up into space, separates, comes back down, and a kind of pointed object is going to enter the atmosphere very, very fast.
Sources tell CNN it is not believed the warhead capability has been tested. And there's another key question tonight about the missiles that would deliver it.
It's unclear that that reentry vehicle that would hold the warhead would survive coming back into the atmosphere and reaching the target.
For a warhead to reach its target, it has to re-enter the atmosphere from space at very high speed, so the engineers need to protect it from extreme heat. North Korea has already been testing heat shields that protect the warhead during its fiery reentry. President Trump's national security advisor, H.R. McMaster, recently said the possibility that North Korea could possess nuclear weapons capable of reaching America would be, quote, intolerable and could lead to a U.S. military response. What could that response be?
One of the options is to use military weapons, precision strike weapons, to take these weapons out, both in their hide sites, the deep underground facilities, as well as they're being mounted to the weapon themselves. These are all throughout North Korea. We do know where a lot of them are.
But that option comes with a warning tonight about how Kim Jong-un could strike back.
Because we have Seoul right on the border within direct artillery range, one of the very likely retaliations would be a launch of weapons, direct artillery weapons against Seoul. That the Seoul, for example, is a hostage city.
All right, so they're talking about surgically removing the nuclear sites, the warheads, the missiles, I mean, and avoiding an artillery barrage of Seoul, which you wouldn't have to use nuclear weapons. You could just kill them with munitions. So it's an ugly, very horrible scenario. It's like out of a movie, Independence Day type stuff. I mean, you don't want to think about it. Millions of people dying in Seoul. I mean, it would destroy the LPGA Tour, for one thing, right out of the chute. You know, that's probably in poor taste. I'm sorry. It's like saying you'll take the Israelis in six. I mean, you just don't do things like that. But, you know, it's terrible. It's a horrible thought. And here's my point about Trump's tough talk. He had notes there, and so it sounded like he was doing this deliberately, sounding tough. because we've tried to be nice and we've tried to ease the tensions and we've tried to calm the waters for 20 years, 25 years, and it hasn't worked. They just continued on with their development of nuclear capability and weapons and missiles, and they've just never stopped. And Bill Clinton said he had a deal, and of course they cheated, and we didn't deal with them during Bush or Obama. The point of it is we've tried to be nice. We've tried to calm the waters. We've tried not to escalate. And guess what? They escalated. They killed one of our prisoners. They poisoned him, and he went home dead. And, you know, he fed his uncle to the dogs, which I thought was kind of gross. Killed his cousin in Indochina. I mean, the guy's nuts. He's fat. He eats all the food. I mean, I'm not real thin myself, but I don't take the food away from those Koreans. But I'm just wondering how the tough talk makes it worse. Because we got the UN to do the sanctions. Even Russia and China were on board. So this tough talk, my point is, how could it be worse than what we've already done trying to be nice? Because they're doing these things now where they can fire a nuclear weapon into Seattle because we did nothing about it for 25 years. So now it's worse. Now it's going to escalate because Trump talked tough. I think part of that is because people hate Trump so much and he's hated so, you know, intensely. Then when he talks tough, it's like, oh my God, people want him to go into the basement and go into the doghouse and just close the door. But it won't happen because he's president and we're not. I mean, it really comes down to that, doesn't it? I mean, he won the Electoral College. I mean, Hillary's campaign spent more money in Georgia and Texas trying to make them blue than they spent in Wisconsin or Michigan or Pennsylvania. Hillary never went to Wisconsin to campaign. I'm sorry. You can blame the Russians if you want. But I'm sorry. First of all, the emails that were dumped by WikiLeaks about the DNC operatives talking back and forth and the John Podesta, nobody covered that. They got almost no coverage. Very little coverage. Nobody, my sister and aunts who hate Trump and blame the Russians for the loss, don't know anything about those emails. They know nothing about what was dumped. I mean, you had the DNC guy, the financial director, saying that his peeps, meaning his Kentucky peeps, would love to know that Bernie's a Jew. I mean, come on. Appealing to the anti-Semitism of the people in Kentucky. He was the financial director for the DNC, which we learned in those WikiLeaks emails. Nobody covered that. Some people did. I mean, I saw it. It was probably on Fox. You know, and then all the dinners and lunches and conferences between members of the national media and the Hillary campaign over for dinner to share notes. I mean, there are countless stars. Jake Tapper, Mika, Joe, the whole crew going over, Washington Post reporters going over the copy on their stories with campaign. I mean, come on! All that was in those emails. Very seldom anybody covered that stuff. So if you're going to say the Russians caused her to lose, how so? The emails? You'll never cover that. Well, Facebook, you could say they engineered fake news stories through social media, which they apparently did. But you say don't read that. And if you're smart and you're a Hillary person, you're too smart to read that stuff, right? You think only morons in Kmart parking lot types read that stuff. So how did that cause her to lose? Were those people that read that stuff are going to vote for Hillary in the first place? I don't think so. They don't even wear Birkenstock. They're not going to read some stupid right-wing website. So you've never explained how the hell the collusion directly led to the loss. You didn't cover the emails. You didn't go to those fake news sites. Oh, yeah, Mitch, so those are Democrats who... Those Democrats don't read that stuff. They don't read Alex Jones or, you know, the American Thinker or Breitbart. No! Those are Tea Party people. They've got tattoos on their forearms, and they have keys on their belt. Flannel shirt, they have pie at lunch. You might have had a percentage of, you know, a tiny percentage of Democrats saw any of that stuff. The fact of the matter is, final point on this, because I get sick of it. Romney lost to Trump in Wisconsin by 1,600 votes. Hillary lost to Obama in Wisconsin by 250,000 votes. No more questions, Your Honor. And that wasn't involving Vladimir with his shirt off in the Black Sea. Can I make it even more clear than that, for God's sake? So then we have Robert Mueller, who under Bush, an FBI director, was covering up pre-9/11 emails about the flight schools and covered that stuff after 9/11, which was revealed by the Time Magazine co-person of the year in 2002, who's a Democrat, who fingered Mueller for covering that stuff up after 9/11. This guy's not a Boy Scout. He goes to the bathroom the same way we do. He's just thin. He was a Vietnam War hero, and he's preppy. You know, I can't match those things. I'm not thin. I went to Butler. They're not in the Ivy League. Let's take it out in the ring, shall we? Boxing is next. Rich Reynolds here. The big bout extraordinaire at Turner's coming up August 12th. Howard Cosell. Speaking of sports on the Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
Joe here from Comedy on State. Looking for something to do for your girl's bachelorette party? Trust me, we can take care of that for you. Come to Comedy on State. It's so easy. You can go to madisoncomedy.com. You can purchase your tickets right from the website. You don't even have to talk to anybody over the phone if you're a weird person. Let's be honest, you're probably a weirdo. You're listening to Mitch.
For a list of upcoming Comedy Club performers or to purchase tickets, go to madisoncomedyclub.com and click shows. Performer bios are available by clicking on their pictures.
That's Comedy on State, madisoncomedy.com or 256-0099.
The great Joe DiMaggio still holds the major league record for the longest hitting streak at 56 games. Bucks Takeout Pizza has a 56-year winning streak for the best thin crust pizza in the city. Bucks Pizza has a unique taste like no other. Handmade pizzas with homemade sauce and homemade sausage. Two Madison locations on University Avenue and Cottage Grove Road. Just go to BucksPizzaMadison.com, BucksPizzaMadison.com.
The all-new Mitch Hanks Show would like to thank our sponsors. We're grateful for their support of the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
At P3 Pro, we're invested in creating a dynamic video experience for our clients. Everything from planning, shooting, and editing your events, commercials, webcasts, or films. P3 Pro has 27 years of industry standard experience working to make your vision a reality. We stand apart from your traditional run-of-the-mill production experience and create memorable, moving, breathtaking imagery that conveys your message in a powerful way. We take your vision and turn it into a work of art. The art of storytelling, the art of beautifully crafted imagery, the art of persuasion. Visit us on the web at p3pro.xyz or call 608-571-3776. That's 608-571-3776.
6AM Marketing is a Wisconsin-based ad agency that doesn't look or act like other ad agencies. They don't follow conventional thinking and constantly push themselves and their clients to test the bounds of how far they can go. The result is relationships that have lasted more than 10 years. Clients refer to 6AM and their work as fresh, insightful, strategic, edgy, and creative. 6AM shows customers why your products and services are better than the competition. 6AM's brand smart process helps you establish your brand in the market for years to come. With a client's marketing team by its side, 6AM digs for the business problem the client is trying to solve and the business goals and objectives they hope to achieve, examining the market, competitors, the brand's consumers, and messaging to define a brand proposition that is both compelling and unique to the market. 6AM Marketing. They do it differently, and they do it well. Go to 6ammarketing.com. That's www.6ammarketing.com.
Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
Rich Reynolds joins me now. Who's that? Isn't that a movie star? Is that Rich? Which Reynolds is that my daughter has a crush on?
I don't think it's a Rich Reynolds.
Not Rich. Is it? Which Reynolds?
Ryan Reynolds is Ryan, who you're thinking Ryan, of. Deadpool, yeah.
My daughter has a huge crush. Maybe she'll have a crush on you after this interview. I don't know. But
kind of doubt it.
Rich sells himself short. Now, are you the Don King of Madison now? Or we've got the big boxing.
I'm not the Don King. I'm the Michael Buffer of Madison. That's how I like to fancy myself.
Well, tell me about this boxing event coming up August 12th at Turner Hall.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's such a great venue to go ahead and introduce a lot of fighters who are actually being introduced into the game. So it's all put on by Supreme Hits Boxing and Maurice Muhammad, who does a great job of promoting fighters, and hopefully we can get into some of the fighters that are making their name in boxing right now. But we got guys that are making debuts here, and what it is, it's kind of a new thing for Supreme Hits Boxing, where they're promoting whole cards of guys who have less than 10 professional fights. And you're looking at a lot of local talent, guys who live right here in Madison or were born and raised right here in Madison and who have considerable amateur careers as well to back it up, but finally are getting their pro shot and are making their way into the ring. So you get to say, hey, I saw that fighter when, and then it's all going to be highlighted. The main event includes he's got two belts, Deontay Bumaye Wilson, and he is an up-and-coming fighter and has all the talent and the skill that you would believe, and believe it or not, has an engineering background at the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
Wow.
So, he brings that kind of smarts into the ring.
These people are disavowing Ultimate Fighting.
Oh, yeah.
They're back in the ring doing old-fashioned boxing.
It's boxing, and it's wonderful. In fact, Dorn the Storm Vu, the first ever Hmong world champion. Now, he's going to be fighting in Vegas. He fights for Supreme Hits. He's going to be fighting in Vegas in September. That's going to be on FS1. And Dorn actually started in the cage and doing the MMA thing and has gone over to boxing, has actually gotten a lot more success doing that. And combat sports, we love them all. I get a chance on Channel 57.
I was married once, yeah.
Yeah, I get a chance on 57. I do the In Town, the Chosen Few MMA. I do the play-by-play, the blow-by-blow for that.
Well, that's kind of I thought it was the up-and-coming millennial activity.
And you know what? It's kind of split. One thing about boxing, and I don't know if you watch a lot or been paying attention lately, there's been a lot of boxing on TV, and PBC is the one that brings it back, and they go on different networks. So they're on ABC, they're on CBS, they're on NBC, they're on FS1, they're on Spike. They've been all over, and on ESPN. And
really?
In fact, yeah, Lomachenko fought this past Saturday on ESPN, and you want to talk about one of the best
Sugar Ray Robinson, Sugar Ray Leonard,
yeah.
I haven't watched boxing since George Foreman fought Evander Holyfield, probably.
And you know what? And that's a lot of people, because I think a lot of people are always turned on by the heavyweights, that one punch that can end it all. Not a lot of people can name who the heavyweight champions are out there right now. Right, and that's you never heard of Deontay Wilder.
The last one I knew of was probably Holyfield. I mean, I don't even know. I mean, let's face it. I mean, it's like tennis. I could Jimmy Connors and John McEnroe and Bjorn Bergen. Now, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Djokovic.
Well, except for Serena, who's the American that ever makes it anywhere,
You know what ruined it for tennis was Yvon Lendl.
I think he
ruined tennis because nobody cared about him.
Yeah, that's true.
Boxing, it sounds like you're saying there's some up-and-coming personalities.
You know, and there is at every weight class, it seems like, but heavyweight. And as much as I like Wilder and I like Joshua, they're not household names. They could walk into the studio right now and you might not know who they are. I would guess.
See, I want to watch retro video of Ingemar Johansson against Rocky Marciano.
I love that stuff too. In fact, I think you could watch a lot of that stuff. I just watched The Rumble in the Jungle a couple of months ago with a buddy of mine, and we watched
Foreman Ali.
Yeah, the Watch
Zaire.
ESPN app. It was fantastic.
And David Frost did that play-by-play, right? The British announcer
who
interviewed
there.
Nixon.
Jim Brown was ringside.
It was
quite a show. It was amazing and a great fight.
Well, those were huge events,
right?
Seen by billions of people, right, on closed circuit.
Right.
So boxing is sort of like tennis in my mind. It's trying to make its way back.
It is, and it's a wonderful sport. I think, you know, one of the things that a lot of people, you know, we're not that far removed from it being a top-notch sport. Even in Madison, the UW used to have a boxing team. They would sell out the field.
Oh, sure they would.
Yeah. Oh, those pictures are wonderful. And so there's a boxing background here. We're not that far removed from boxing being at the forefront for a lot of people, and I think I'd love to see that come back, and that's at least locally what we're trying to do. And with a lot of fresh face fighters stepping into the ring for the first time, and you got to check out some of these guys, they're absolutely wonderful.
How long will they be fresh faced?
Yeah,
the question. Their opponents don't want them to be fresh faced.
I'm looking forward to it. Brian Guzman's got a wonderful video on Facebook. If you check him out, it's great. Kevin Garduño, terrific background in amateur
Italian,
fighting.
Kevin Garduño?
He's not. No.
Oh no.
He's got the Enye. You know, you know. So you got to have that. And on top of it all, you got Deontay Bumaye Wilson. You got Danny the Predator Torres. His fight got
canceled. Danny the Predator Torres.
Last second. I can't wait for his fight because I know there are fighters that are petrified to step in the ring with him, and for good reason. They call him the Predator for a reason.
Oh, I wouldn't step in the ring. Wow. Now, you so it's August 12th.
August 12th, Turner's Hall.
Turner Hall's on East Wash. On Stoughton Road?
Yep, Stoughton Road.
South Stoughton Road. So you go around, you head back down the
I think
access.
That's like around like Stoughton and Flom.
Flom and then turn right on the access road. Okay.
Yep, that's
And what time does it start?
It starts at 7 o'clock first bell. The doors open at 6 o'clock. You can get tickets online at SupremeHitsBoxing.com.
SupremeHitsBoxing.com. How many seats in there?
I think it's 1,800, 1,200.
1,800.
Somewhere between 12 and
1,800. So if you want to see the fights, you got to be there.
Yeah. Right. And you'll have to be there for that one. You know, we've done pay-per-view before. In fact, gotten a lot of pay-per-view hits, mostly because Dorn would be at the top, and he's got a huge Hmong following. Check out Dorn the Storm Vu. He's worldwide.
What'd you say?
Dorn the Storm Vu.
Dorn the Storm Vu.
Undefeated and fighting in Vegas in September.
Oh, Vegas. Man.
But why not come and see local fighters right now? Deontay Bumaye Wilson, wonderful kid. In fact, he works in town here at the Plasma Place over on Gorham.
Wow.
You know, he's got his whole lab coat on and everything. And recently,
I'll get blood. I'll get plasma. $10. Yeah, right. He's in college.
All radio guys have done it at one point or another.
You give the plasma, go drink in college. That's what you did.
You get drunk faster. Yeah.
Well, you get drunk damn fast. you're younger than I am, but I think you stayed young because you're not overweight, which is key.
That is key.
So are we north of 40? I'm just curious.
I am. Yes, okay. I am.
That's as far as I'll go.
I'm not a millennial by any stretch. So.
No, well, I saw an old shot of myself in TV 11, LUK in Green Bay, where my waist was the size of my neck now, which was very disturbing.
Mitch, I go back with you when you were the investigative reporter NBC 15. You know, you're a legend around
here. Should have seen me at bar time. Well, August 12th, Turner's.
12th. Yes.
8 o'clock.
Yep.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. 7 o'clock is the first bell. 6
first
o'clock,
bell.
Doors open. $40 tickets in advance. Get them that way. $50 at the door, so you save
yourself.
See
some of the
bucks.
Best fighters in the area going on to Vegas, the whole
best.
Thing.
Yes.
All right, well, for the boxing fix, you just filled the void. Hang around, just be a sidekick after this. Madison Golf, you're into that too.
I am.
Dan Smith, they're talking about closing Monona Golf Course, which is a City of Madison golf course. But you're dealing with people's lives when you're talking about closing. It's like closing Evans Field, only worse. The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
This is Pete Gunderson. Pre-planning a life celebration doesn't necessarily mean prepaying. At Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, we offer a variety of affordable options that you can pre-arrange for free. It's pre-planning without the worry of prepaying. Learn more at GundersonFH.com, your hometown life celebration center. Gunderson Funeral.
If you operate a business, you know there is no one-size-fits-all solution for today's technology challenges. MadisonGeeks.com plans, services, and installs technologies for small and medium businesses like network systems, servers, firewalls, wireless access points, telecommunications, security, remote service options, and business productivity solutions. MadisonGeeks.com is your IT staff. They take time to sit down and discuss your needs and present cost-effective solutions. With a Better Business Bureau A-plus rating, they are your trusted IT outsource partner. Expect less downtime. Faster resolutions lead to more productivity. Fewer day-to-day issues. Their proactive maintenance helps prevent issues from occurring. MadisonGeeks.com also offers computer and laptop service and repair. Madison Geeks are there to help. They're known for their candid, friendly approach and reliable, ready response. Check them out online at MadisonGeeks.com.
This is the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
When it comes to telephone on-hold advertising, some commonly asked questions are, why do we need an on-hold message? How do we write a script? How long should the message be? How does the message get played? How much does it cost? I'm Bob of Abella Creative Services, and a telephone on-hold message speaks directly to your target audience while they're on hold with your company. Continuously advertises only your business without the clutter of competitive ads and for just a fraction of conventional advertising costs. At Bob Abella Creative Services, we'll help you draft a well-written script, provide the appropriate announcer, music, or sound effects, and the studio time and expertise to put it all together. We'll also provide you with any special equipment you might need to play your on-hold message. Even though we probably have more experience than most other on-hold message companies, we'll cost you less. Let Bob Abella Creative Services stretch your advertising dollar with an on-hold message that provides your customers with real, actionable solutions to their problems. Bob Abella Creative Services gets results. Just send us an email at bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. That's bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. Mitch Hank for Atterbury, Cameron, Hague.
I'm proud to be sitting next to senior partner and a man who's been voted Wisconsin's super lawyer multiple times, Eric Hague. How do you differ from those firms that do commercials where they brag about winning a $1 million settlement?
We've all seen the commercials on TV where attorneys are bragging about multi-$1 million settlements. That can be somewhat misleading. Achieving a $1 million settlement doesn't necessarily mean that there was great legal work done. You could have a $2 million case, and you could have a lawyer who settles it prematurely for $1 million. Well, they got a $1 million result, but that doesn't necessarily mean high-quality legal work was done. We get the vast majority of our cases through referrals from former clients and predominantly from other lawyers in the community who send us their clients to ask if we can help them with their personal injury cases.
So when you need a lawyer, do what I did. Call Atterbury, Cameron, Hague and reach them at yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com. That's yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to The Mitch Hanks Show.
You know him from Caledonia back in the day, if you saw his band playing back in the 70s, or you knew him from PM Magazine on Channel 15 or Saturday Morning Channel 3 and God knows what else, yard work on the weekends. Dan Smith joins us on the Golf Subcommittee for the City of Madison Parks Department. And was in the paper this morning because, of all things, they're talking about closing Monona Golf Course. Hello, Mr. Smith.
You know, if there's a single person out there that remembers me from Caledonia, except my wife.
Well, hey, somebody might have seen you.
Won a $1,000 gift certificate to the Mitch Hanks Show.
Wink Martindale has a gift certificate. Dinner for one in Portage. No, you could have been playing in Dubuque and somebody could have seen the band. You know, could happen.
It could. It could. You know, Trump could tweet the truth, too. You know, who knows?
Oh, now let's keep national politics out of this if we can. So you're involved heavily in the status and future of Madison Public Golf Courses as a member of the Golf Subcommittee, right, for the Parks Department? So
yeah, I'm not sure how heavily. The Golf Subcommittee, by ordinance, is an advisory committee to the Parks Commission. In other words, we advise the Parks Commission on things like golf rates, selection of golf pros, operations, user complaints, and I may be missing something there, but it's an advisory committee, like most subcommittees in the city of Madison are, which there are 90 subcommittees, 90 plus.
Yeah, okay. Well, I read that we've had a deficit for the golf operations for 8 of the last 9 years, and it shocked me because you and I both remember 25 years ago trying to get a tee time at O'Danny Hills was like trying to get on Bethpage Black. You had to be there on Monday at 6 and line up in the pro shop. And get
your, sure.
I mean, it was incredible.
It was incredible, but those were the days before, let's say, Tumbledown, before Hawks Landing, before the bridges, before a lot of daily fee courses, the Oaks, were in existence. So, you know, it was probably the best municipal golf deal. Well, it was municipal golf. It was probably the best daily fee deal in the area, yeah. And one of the few. And so a lot of that changed over the last 25 years.
Well, that's true, because then you just had Glenway, Monona, Yahara, Odana, and I think Pleasant View was already there, yeah.
Yeah.
And that was it. So
that was it.
You know.
And now you have many more choices, and while golf, it depends on how you look at the numbers, continues to grow, doesn't continue to grow, it's been relatively flat. With modest increases, although I just read an interesting report from the National Golf Foundation that more people are hitting golf balls
really?
than they have in a long, long time. But that's because a lot
range.
Of people, especially the younger people, are going to the driving range and having a party and hitting golf balls on a Friday night as a date night type of thing. Mm-hmm. So more people are hitting golf balls. Are more people playing golf courses? No.
Well, how much of that is the fact that young people, and of course you're dealing with it with First Tee, trying to get kids into the game, but clubs are having trouble in the country, private clubs, with play. And
sure.
The world is so fast now with cell phones and iPhones. I mean, my own son, I think at a certain point he chose the phone over the back nine. I'm not sure what age that was, about 15. But so it's a faster world, and, you know, people don't have 5 hours to spend on the golf course.
It's certainly a different world. Do people have 5 hours spent on the golf course? It's interesting because you and I play most of our golf is at O'Danny Hills, and they get a lot of college play. That's a significant market for them because of its proximity to the university,
mm-hmm.
And they are playing 18-hole rounds.
Well, it's good to hear that because I don't recall that 20 years ago. I mean, that's kind of an improvement.
No, but it is what it is. I mean,
yeah.
It is. They are getting a significant amount of play. But O'Danny is a very popular within the state and the Midwest. A daily fee, or in this case, municipal. Municipal simply means run by a city.
Yeah.
A daily fee could be a private golf course that just charges a daily fee, and you don't require a country club membership.
Well, okay, given that history of the heavy play at our chosen course, what about this deficit problem 8 of the last 9 years? What is causing that?
Well, there's a lot of factors to it. Some of them, in my opinion, are accounting issues. In other words, the Madison Golf Enterprise, as it's called, and it's called an enterprise because it is supposed to make a profit on its own by city parlance or by city language or whatever. But it gets charged for a lot of things. Golf supports a lot of other things and gets put in the golf budget. For example, golf is the only city entity that pays the so-called pilot taxes, payment in lieu of taxes. That's a fairly large chunk of money. I'm not sure exactly how much it is, but it's in the $100,000+ range. That other entities will say Olbrich Garden or the softball fields or Goodman Pools.
They don't pay it.
No, right. They don't pay it. But we do.
So it's an ad hoc tax on golfers.
It's an ad hoc tax on golfers, and that comes from the downtown finance department, you know, and that's what they choose to do, and there's not a whole lot that golf can do about it, but...
Well, we can call them...
You know, that kind of, in my estimation, skews the numbers.
Well, it does.
You know, every time you pay a greens fee, it doesn't all go to golf. Some of it goes to bike paths,
boat landings...
Trails, boat launches, community
yeah.
parks, you name it. Golf is the heavy lifter within the park.
Yeah, so then my point is then don't say golf is running a deficit if that's the case, right? I mean, apples to apples.
It would be interesting if you took golf out of the enterprise mode, which is a city council function, and folded it into the parks department budget And a lot of these so-called problems would disappear. Well, actually, the problems wouldn't disappear. The problems are the problems. There are drainage problems at Yahara. Everybody knows it. We need cart paths at Yahara. Everybody knows it. We need capital improvements. Everybody knows it. To run a successful entity, and the people that are running the golf courses, the city golf courses, with the equipment and the conditions, Mother Nature, that they're dealing with, especially this year, are doing a remarkable job with what they have.
Oh, sure. Well, what I saw was that Yahara had been hit, but the deficit I read was only 1.4 or something like that over a couple of years. I mean, I know that sounds like a lot, but I was expecting more than that.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot, and it is a lot. I mean, let's face it. I don't know what the number is. I've heard 18-20% of the population of Madison even plays golf, so that's part of it. So again, it's how you shake out the numbers.
I understand that point is made.
And anybody that's ever run a business knows that. You shake out the numbers in a way to tell a story to either your stockholders or your ownership.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. And nobody expects the Monona Terrace to be self-supporting. or you mentioned the boat launches or the frisbee golf tracks,
right.
Those things are other parks. You know,
well, and I think the citizens of Madison would say, yeah, we want those things. This is what makes our city a great place to live, the parks for kids.
Well, what's Odana Hills? It's a park.
They're all parks, and the most used parks in the city of Madison are the golf courses.
Sure.
And they're paying a fee when they use them.
And it was a great daycare for my son from 10 to 14, and
talk about a great deal. I don't know what juniors pay now, but I think when your son was playing, it was like $200 a summer for unlimited play.
Oh, yeah, And then he discovered tall girls in blue jeans at 15, and that was it. But suddenly the hayride was more attractive. But,
right.
But it's great because you could drop him off at 9 in the morning with his buddy, and the pro was there, and you were fine for 4 or 5 hours. It was great, you know.
Yeah. It was terrific. Interesting. We were at... I volunteer for the First Tee, as you know, and I'm also a paid marketing consultant, so just, all cards on the table. But Monday mornings is when I run the mentoring golf thing at the First Tee at Monona. And we follow MARGA, the Madison Area Retired Golf Association group. So you could look down number 5 at Monona on Monday morning, and you could see kids 10 years old, and you could see seniors 80 years old using the same facility at the same time. Where else does that happen?
That's heartwarming.
It is. And I think what gets lost when you're just crunching the numbers is the cultural significance of golf to the community. Are you going to play hockey with your grandchildren? I kind of doubt it. Ooh, just check grandma into the boards. That was
it. Shoots one. Why?
Oh, geez. I think she'll recover.
Yeah, exactly. Get tougher, Grandma. Rich,
you can play golf with your grandchildren. What other sport can you do that? So, and it's culturally significant, and the senior population, of which I'm a proud member of, it's part of the social life. It's part of getting out every once a week and playing and having a beer with your buddies and chatting about whatever, but
the Bernie Sanders
aspects. I mean, there's so many hidden benefits to this thing called golf that I don't think you can ignore. And plus, it's a terrific amenity. Do you think for a moment that the people that are at Epic are not chirping about what a great place this area is to live, and a big contributor to what makes this place a great place to live is our parks in general and golf in particular.
I agree. And Rich Reynolds of TV 57 is here. You got a question for Dan?
Yeah, absolutely. And Dan, in listening to it, and you make some good arguments, especially tugging on the emotional aspects of golf and bringing that all in. Within the confines of the accounting that you have, though, now, spinning this forward, how do we save this? How do we go forward? How do you make this viable, then, to keep the courses that we have?
I think that we need some significant capital improvements, and specifically, let's talk about Yahara. Yahara was built on a marsh, not that far underneath the water table. So every time it rains, there's a large puddle. So the technology exists to alleviate that drainage problem. But it's expensive, and we have to invest in that to make that right. If we do, Yahara is open much more than it is now. There are cart paths because, you know, especially the senior population, I have to take a cart. There are cart paths. Those are expensive. So there are significant capital improvements that have to be made to ensure the long-term profitability. I hope that answers your question.
I think it does. And what about banquets or weddings? And
yeah, it's where does the money come from then? You know,
well, that's the big question.
Right.
You know, there are golf courses in our area, Lake Windsor in particular, that does a fantastic job with weddings. You know, they're booking, I think, a couple weddings a week, and that contributes to keeping that golf course alive. And that leads me to another point. All of our facilities, with the possible exception of Yahara, because it's kind of out there a little bit, are in the middle of some of population areas. And I think what we need to think about is the golf enterprise as more than the sport of golf. We need to think about these buildings as really important community centers. Now, does that mean that we have to improve some of these facilities? Absolutely. But if you took Odana, just for example, the clubhouse, and you made that a three-story clubhouse, and that first story was just for golf and golf operations, which it is now, but maybe the second story is a nice restaurant or a 12-month out of the year community center where you and your friends could go have a nice place to play cards or a nice place to shoot a game of pool or a nice place to have your knitting club or whatever, but a community center, in other words.
Originally,
and on another level,
that
would just be a banquet facility. You know, but that's long-term thinking, and that takes, I think, out-of-the-box thinking, no pun intended, Mitch.
Yes.
But, of course, that was an old show, wasn't it? But anyway, to take that kind of thinking and say, what can we do with these prime locations that have plenty of parking? They're great locations, but can we go 30,000 feet above the ground and look down and think more about just the sport of golf? Can we use this valuable property? I mean, wouldn't it be great if you take the neighborhood, let's pick the Monona neighborhood. Wouldn't it be great if your kids could stop by for after-school programs?
Sure.
Or at Odana, if your kids could stop by for after-school programs run by the first tee, where they might get a little bit of golf instruction, weather permitting, or on the simulator in the winter, and then some help with their homework. I mean, that's what we're doing at Vitense, and it seems to be working very, very well.
It takes a village, you know, Dana or Yahara. Dan Smith could be there. You'd be like, you know, Father Flanagan in Boys Town, Spencer Tracy. Where's Mickey Rooney? No, it sounds wonderful. Please stay on that subcommittee because you're.
Yeah, I don't know why I attempt accents because I always avoid accents because they never sound authentic.
Hey, well, say goodnight, Gracie. As you can say, at old shows. No, Dan, I appreciate it so much. We went over just for you because you're worth it.
All right, thank you, buddy.
Dan Smith. Thank you very much. Rich Reynolds, thank you. Mike Brockerville. All right, you take care. Mike Brockerville, thank you very much. We've got Bob Keller, the space here on West Wash. You provide. Check out the properties, Tuscan Place, Washington Court, senior homes or housing on the west side, Whitcomb Square. So go to the kellerapartments.com. That's kellerapartments.com. We will see you at the Concert on the Green here shortly, and then also next week we'll have big announcements on our upcoming shows and podcasts, or our media operation. Mitch Hank Show on MadisonTalks.com.